seasons of life.
Seasons of life. God tells us in Genesis 8:22 that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So the earth will always enjoy the change of seasons, for the earth abideth forever. Ecclesiastes 1:4. The seasons of the year are naturally divided into four different seasons, according to consistent temperature changes in the weather. In the northern hemisphere, people and nations begin the seasons and the year with the winter season. Winter, the coldest of the seasons, begins with the winter solstice, December 21st or 22nd, the shortest day of the year, but the longest night. The sun is at its lowest point in the sky on the winter solstice. As the temperatures begin to warm, the next season is spring, and it begins with the vernal equinox, March 20th or 21st. On this day, the sun is directly above the equator, and day and night are exactly the same length. Summer, the hottest season, begins with the summer solstice on June 20th or 21st. It is the longest day of the year, and therefore the shortest night. The next season is autumn, and the daily temperatures begin to decline again. Autumn begins with the autumnal equinox, September 22nd or 23rd each year. Once again, day and night are of equal length on the equinox. Thus, the name is derived from the Latin equus and nox, meaning equal night. Instead of starting the year in the winter, what if we started the year in the spring? That's when life begins to return to the land. In Genesis 8:22, God starts with seed time, which occurs in the spring when the temperatures are getting warmer. In Exodus 12, God made the month of Nisan the beginning of the year for the nation of Israel. Nisan starts in March or April during the spring season. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you." Exodus 12, 1 and 2. When starting the year in the spring, the seasons can be compared to four stages in a person's life. From birth to early childhood would correspond to spring. Childhood to a young adult would correspond to summer. From a young adult to a mature adult would correspond to autumn. From a mature adult to death would correspond to winter. There are different and progressive stages of growth in every form of life. Solomon, as a wiser and older king, writes to us in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2. "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted." Solomon uses two seasons to contrast the beginning of life with the end of life. A time to plant is seed time, corresponding to spring, and a time to pluck up is the time of harvest, corresponding to autumn. Every form of life is a miracle. That we live and are capable of comprehending the universe in which we live is another kind of miracle. The number of babies born each year is a miracle. According to the Wolfram Alpha Computational Knowledge Engine, there are about 131 babies born in the world each year, 359,767 a day, 14,990 an hour, 249.8 per minute, or a little over 4 babies per second. Another way to express it is there are enough babies born each day to fill 3.5 large stadiums seating 100,000 people. At the same time, the average worldwide death rate is less than half the birth rate. About 55 million people die each year, 150,645 deaths per year, 6,277 per hour, 104.6 per minute, or almost 2 people die every single second. Enough people die each day to fill 1.5 large stadiums seating 100,000 people. Put another way, since this talk began, about 500 babies have been born, but at the same time, about 200 people have died. These numbers provide us with some perspective when considering the scripture that the time is short in 1 Corinthians 7:29. And when listening to Jesus' words in John 9:4, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Let us grasp each opportunity God is giving us to share the truly good news of his love, the privilege to follow Jesus, and the dawning kingdom which will bless all the families of the earth. The Apostle James expresses the brevity of life this way in James 4:14. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. In our 16 waking hours, or 960 minutes each day, 8 hours are usually required by our employers. Another 2 hours may be required for household activities. That leaves 6 hours, or 360 minutes, that are discretionary. For those that have retired, there may be more discretionary time available. For those that have children or are taking care of elderly parents or grandparents or an ailing spouse or others, there is less discretionary time. Whether employed or retired, married or single, taking care of children or other family members, some of our discretionary time requires us to eat to have the necessary energy to meet the responsibilities of life. But God gives us the freedom to choose how we use the available discretionary time. As we grow and experience each season of life, the way we use time changes. Our outlooks change. Who we are changes, and that's by design. A 5-year-old mind in a 6'5", 300-pound frame would be a danger to himself and to everyone else. Let us look at some of the lessons that we can draw from each of the 4 seasons of life. Let us begin with spring, when temperatures begin to warm and life begins to emerge from the winter. When a baby is born, it is one of the most helpless creatures on the earth. It can't walk or talk. Its eyes can only focus on objects 8 to 15 inches away. The baby's neck muscles aren't strong enough to even support its own head. It is totally dependent upon its mother and father for life to continue. A baby doesn't know how to feed itself and must be fed. The baby can't clothe itself and must be kept warm. A baby comes into the world with 100 billion brain cells, but the connections between cells called synapses are not yet complete. The more connections that are made as a child experiences life, the more development occurs. According to Psalm 127:3, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Parents love this new being that God has given them, and its development is now their responsibility. When believers in Christ consecrate their all to God by the mercies of God to present their bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, then God begets those believers with his Holy Spirit, 1 John 4:13. And according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Our Father in heaven is our life giver, and prayer is our lifeline. Jesus clearly states that the Father himself loves us in John 16:27, and that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6. It is only through his provision of Jesus that the begettal of the Holy Spirit to be children of God is made available to believers in Christ. 1 Peter 1:3. Through the merit of Christ's sacrifice, we have the opportunity to walk in this new and living way, according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. John 1:12, Hebrews 10:20, Romans 8:1-17. The Apostle Peter compares newly consecrated saints in Christ to newborn babies and the Word of God to pure milk in 1 Peter 2:1-2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. It appears that some of these new Christians were struggling with removing the sin sickness and corruption of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander from their hearts and minds. Peter's prescription is to fill their hearts and minds with the pure word of God. Pure mother's milk has been found to be highly nourishing for a baby, particularly for the baby's brain development. The mother's milk tastes good and fills the baby's stomach, so when the baby is hungry again, it has a strong desire for its mother's milk. The drinking of the milk accelerates the baby's growth, and eventually, the baby learns to eat. So, the foundation principles of the teachings of Christ are highly nourishing to the new saints in Christ and necessary for their spiritual growth. Hebrews 5:13 says, "Everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Just as babies must learn to crawl before they can walk, new creatures require the time to become familiar with and practice the truths found in the foundation principles of Christ. Some of the foundation principles would include love God, your brethren, your neighbor, even your enemies. The Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Watch and pray. Recognition of sin and the need to turn to God and righteousness. Love of righteousness and hatred of iniquity. Jesus came in the flesh and is the Son of the living God. John 1:14, Matthew 16:16. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, the sins of the nation of Israel, and the sins of the whole world, a ransom for all. God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. Baptism is a symbol of our consecration to God unto death with Christ. Death is the absence of life. There is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. Ecclesiastes 9:10. There will be a resurrection of Christ's church, a little flock to the divine nature in heaven, and the world of mankind to the human nature on earth. All the world will come to know God in Christ's kingdom, for the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:9. In an article titled Discipline for Different Ages from Australia's Children, Youth, and Women's Health Service, it states that discipline is about teaching and learning. It says to think about what is the best way to achieve this, given your child's age, understanding, and needs. Isn't this just what our Father in Heaven does for each of us? He designs our experiences for our best spiritual development. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose. Proverbs 16:3-4. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3:6. When a disciple asked Jesus to teach them to pray, Jesus provided the model prayer to our Father in heaven. In Matthew 11:25, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants." For babies up to 1 year old, gentleness, loving touches, and words are as important as feeding and clothing babies. Through these, babies learn that they are protected and can trust their parents. Touch is extremely important in the development of a newborn. For the new creatures in Christ, God develops our trust and faith as he answers our prayers, and we see his providential care in our life. Jesus tells us to take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Matthew 11:29. From ages 1 to 3, children are full of life and curiosity. They learn through touch and trying things out. And this often means making dirty messes or using things in the wrong way. They want to do things their own way and say no, as they learn to be separate individuals. They often get frustrated because they want to do more than they can. This may sound familiar to parents with young children, but doesn't some of it sound familiar even amongst adults? In teaching this age level, the child is to be shown new skills with patience and praise. In teaching young children, parents are to keep it simple, one new lesson at a time. This is sound advice for anyone attempting to teach or learn a new skill, but particularly for new creatures in Christ that are learning the lessons God has for us in developing a Christ-like character. A helpful acronym in the new creature's development is KISS. Keep it simple, saints. Parents are also to pick their child up when he or she won't come. They are to lift the child to safety if in danger. The adversary, as a roaring lion, sees these lambs, the newly consecrated saints, as especially vulnerable, though all the sheep, even the veteran Christian soldiers, are seen as prey. The adversary plays upon our fears. The Apostle Peter encourages us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. When a child of God has gone astray and is in danger, we can use our lifeline and pray. Our God is there to lift us to safety. Jesus tells us in Matthew 18, 10, 12 to 14, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven." What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. The next season of life is summer, when children quickly grow into teenagers and then young adults. Summer's daily air temperatures are the warmest of the year, and the longest amount of sunlight is available during the season. These conditions allow plants to grow quickly to maturity, and unripe fruit can start to be seen. In addition to the sunlight and warm temperatures, plants require a set amount of water and the appropriate amount of pruning and fertilizer to grow and produce fruit. Likewise, with children, in addition to food, clothes, and a place to sleep, children need the proper training and discipline applied in love to grow into responsible adults. In training children of primary school age, 5 to 12 years old, parents must always remember to teach what they want their child to do and give choices. If a rule is broken, the consequence should follow. Parents are to teach their child how to work out ways to solve problems. This is a useful skill at this age and an important step towards learning self-discipline. The primary definition of the word discipline is not to punish, but it's along the lines of developing a skill. To discipline is to train by instruction and practice, especially to teach self-control, and to train to improve strength or self-control. If a child receives no discipline from its parents, the child will struggle to learn self-discipline, if at all. Parents may think they're being loving by not providing consequences and limits for their child, but it is one of the worst things parents can do for the development of a child's character. They are loving parents that apply consequences and limits to their child's behavior. It's called tough love today, but it's been practiced by God and wise parents for thousands of years. In Hebrews 12, 6 and 7, the Christian is told, "For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" And in verse 10, we're given the reason for the discipline. "But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness." So God's discipline is not designed to be a punishment in itself, but to train us to be holy, for he is holy. In verse 11, we're told this training from God has the desired result. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Through God's training and watch care over us, a godly character is developed. In Matthew 18, 1-4, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus provides us a lesson in humility. The child knows he has much to learn and is humble before his parents and teachers. Young children naturally have faith that their parents and teachers are looking after their best interests. We're to have that childlike faith and humility before God. Children also value other children's company and do everything they can to spend more time with their friends. When they squabble over something, they quickly get over it and are laughing and playing again. As new creatures in Christ, we're to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven us. Ephesians 4:32. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Romans 12:10. As children grow, they love to ask questions. One of their favorite styles of questioning is to ask in rapid succession using the one word, why. Of course, the first and second answer is never enough. There may be such a thing as a dumb question, but not asking that question can be costly. Lana Geyer's observation always holds true. It states, asking dumb questions is easier than correcting dumb mistakes. As new creatures grow, God would have us increase our desire for the water of His Word and to drink deeply each day. When Jesus asked the Samaritan woman for a drink at Jacob's well, she kept asking Him questions, but Jesus didn't rebuke her for it. He gladly answered each one of her questions. Jesus said to her in John 4:13 and 14, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Jesus then revealed to her that he was the Messiah, a foundation truth he had only revealed to his 12 disciples. May we never lose our desire to learn more of God from his word. When we do take the time, God more than abundantly blesses our efforts. When we study God's word, we're studying the eternal mind of God. There will always be more for our finite minds to explore. God may give us a clearer understanding of a prophecy or help us to see a familiar truth from a fresh angle. The middle of summer may correspond to the teenage years. The child is no longer a child, but not yet an adult. For the children of believers, their teenagers are still considered holy and under divine care and supervision. 1 Corinthians 7:14. Discipline is an important part of a child's upbringing and continues to be important when they are teenagers. The best discipline leads to young people learning self-discipline. As children grow into adolescence, parents need to use a different discipline approach from the one used during childhood. This is a time for parents to gradually help teenagers take responsibility for themselves. Gradually remove the limits as your teenager takes over the reins of his or her own life. Solomon counsels teenagers and young adults to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, Ecclesiastes 12:1. The borders have been removed from the foundation of your character, and it is now your responsibility to live the just and loving principles your parents taught you from the Holy Scriptures. In youth, we have more energy to accomplish more in a shorter period of time. Just as the days are longer in the summer, we are given a greater amount of energy for a greater amount of activity in the Lord's service. Just in case you are asking yourself, how much use can one teenager be in God's service? Here are four examples. When King David was not yet 20 years of age, and just a shepherd in his father's house, he defeated the seemingly invincible and experienced Philistine soldier, Goliath of Gath. David's spiritual maturity was beyond those many years older. He recognized the battle wasn't his own, but that God would give him the victory. When Samuel was still a youth and dedicated to the Lord's service, God used him to speak his judgment against Eli, the high priest of Israel, and his house for their iniquity. Eli respected the word Samuel spoke to him as from the Lord. From that day forward, Samuel was a prophet of the Lord. 1 Samuel 3:19 says, "Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail." At the age of 18, King Josiah led one of the greatest revivals in Israel's history. After the book of the law was found, he had it read to all of Judah. In 2 Kings 23:3, Josiah makes a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to carry out the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people entered into the covenant. Josiah destroyed the idols that had been set up throughout the land and stopped their worship. This brings us to Esther. Esther was still a youth when she put her life on the line and saved Israel from Haman's evil plot to destroy the Jewish people. As the Christian continues to grow and mature, there is more of an appreciation for the gifts of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We draw strength from these brethren. We also appreciate the gifts of the weaker ones in our fellowship, and we wish to be of help and encouragement to them. We recognize the truth of the statement that no one is useless in the world who lightens the burden of it to anyone else. We put into action the Apostle Paul's instruction in Galatians 6:2 to carry each other's burdens, and in this way we fulfill the law of Christ. We learn that God would have us express our love for him by our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Apostle John puts it this way in 1 John 3:14, "We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren." With the end of summer, autumn begins, the harvest season. The fruit on the trees is ripe and ready for picking. In the autumn stage of human life, adults are usually established in business or are otherwise gainfully employed. A man and woman may be joined in marriage, and often they'll have one or more children. The spring season of life begins for their own children. These new parents will now teach their children and start a new cycle of human development. At this stage in a Christian's development, the ripe fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control can be seen. The new creature has reached maturity. As the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, we're to be an example of the believers. We are to be examples of believers at work, at home, amongst fellow believers, at school, and in all the activities of life. As time goes by, we better understand how our actions affect others. We want our words and actions to be for good and influence others to worship God. The following story reflects this thought. One night, a father overheard his son pray, "Dear God, make me the kind of man my daddy is." Later that night, the father prayed, "Dear God, make me the kind of man my son wants me to be." Fruit is grown to be eaten and to nourish those that eat it. So as ambassadors of Christ, we share the fruit of the Spirit in the words we use and in what we do for others. After washing the disciples' feet, Jesus said in John 13:14-15, "If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." When Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, and Peter said he did, Jesus said to feed my sheep. By feeding Jesus' sheep, Peter would demonstrate his love for Jesus. We are each to do the same in helping with the spiritual development of our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Galatians 6:10, the Apostle Paul tells us that while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. As autumn transitions into winter, the temperatures become colder. Winter being the coldest season of the year, it is the season of dormancy, particularly in relationship to crops. Some plants die, leaving their seeds, and others stop growing until spring. As the autumn stage of life transitions into winter, adults are usually retiring or working part-time. There are more aches and pains, and sleeping is a favorite activity. Adult children have usually moved out of the house by now and are raising their own children. A spouse may have died. Old friends may have died or moved away. As a grandparent, you enjoy visits from your adult children and your grandchildren. I've heard grandparents say they enjoy babysitting their grandchildren, but they're glad when their parents come back to take them home again. There is also a greater appreciation of life and for those they love, perhaps knowing that their sojourn on earth is coming to an end. For new creatures, this final season of life on earth may represent the mature new creature that has developed the character and obedience of Christ. They stand in full spiritual armor. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6:13, "Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." The evil day may refer to the second half of Ecclesiastes 12:1, Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. These mature new creatures prefer to be worn out rather than to rust out before their resurrection change. They leave us a wonderful legacy of talks, of warm hugs, of laughter, and smiles that could melt the hardest of hearts. As the blossom cannot tell what becomes of its fragrance, so no one can tell what becomes of his influence. By this time, these new creatures in Christ are veterans of many battles for righteousness' sake, and they gladly share their wealth of Christian experiences with their younger brethren. These veterans want all of Jesus' disciples to develop spiritually, to pray more, exercise faith more, to serve more, to love more, and encourage more. Many times they have carried their spiritually wounded comrades to safety and given them the water of life that their spiritual life would be revived. At times they have performed these selfless acts, though wounded themselves and in the thick of their own spiritual battles. They have helped other believers to be God-centered, not self-centered, and to follow our captain by demonstrating their love by laying down their lives for their friends. There is much we can learn from these brethren to help in our upcoming battles. They have already been through them. Perhaps the Lord has put them in our midst for that very reason. In closing, when considering the seasons of life and the development of the new creature, let us appreciate the miracle of life and especially the life of the new creature that God has begun in us. Let us be familiar with the foundational truths of the Holy Scriptures and apply them. Let us use our 360 discretionary minutes each day to glorify God. Let us exercise childlike faith and trust in God at every age. When God uses discipline, it is to train us by instruction and practice to develop a Christ-like character. Let us continue to ask questions and study the Scriptures. A faithful individual can be used by God at any age. No one is useless in the world who lightens the burden of it to anyone else. As the blossom cannot tell what becomes of its fragrance, so no one can tell what becomes of his influence. Having done all, stand. Amen.